Our Bible reading is from 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 1 to 8. Now, Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, "May the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that of one of them." Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there. While he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, he came to a broom bush, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. "I have had enough, Lord," he said. "Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the bush and fell asleep. All at once an angel touched him and said, "Get up and eat." He looked around, and there by his head was some bread baked over hot coals, and a jar of water. He ate and drank and then lay down again. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, "Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you." So he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. This is the word of the Lord.
Friends, it's so lovely to be with you, and I just want to share with you for a few moments to think about all that God might be saying to us from this last little season. As you've heard, my name is Mark Mellerish. I'm currently the Assistant National Leader of New Wine, although I'm stepping down from that. As the old saying goes, there's no success without a successor, and having been in the leadership of New Wine for 29 years, it's time for me to pass on that hat to somebody else. We've had a roller coaster over the last few months, haven't we? I mean, everything's gone up and down. Everything seems to be in transition. We seem to be standing on sifting sand. There's new rules coming in one week and then the next. And everything's happening so fast. And with all of that, we've had questions in our minds, haven't we? Will COVID spread? Will jobs be secure? What's happening about the economy? What's happening about health in different people's lives? What about schooling? There's so many questions that so many of us have. And as the media has told us, mental health issues are on the increase. Many people are feeling challenged. Marriages are under pressure. Families have been put under pressure. Domestic abuse has gone up. There are huge issues that have come out. And of course, what happens is when you put something under pressure, it can implode in itself. Or when you really put something under pressure, a pearl can be made, or a diamond can be made. And I wonder who's got our future. How should we as Christians respond to the current situation? I want to say that I believe that God has our future in his hands, and he invites us to have faith, not to be empty-headed about it, not to be blasé about it, but in all these things, God has got us in his hands. And of course, it's not just every generation is under pressure. And I particularly feel for the younger generation at the moment because of the added pressure that social media puts on them. In fact, social media puts pressure on everybody who uses it. My wife works in mental health and with young people, and she would say social media is one of the greatest threats to their health at the moment, and what it's doing, that the fear of missing out, the fear of not being liked, the fear of not being included, so many different things challenge them through that. But can I just paint a picture for you? Often I feel a failure as a father. I've had five children, I've got a grandchild, and yet I can still feel a failure. My children are healthy, they're working or studying, they're doing different things, but still I can feel a failure. I had a lovely text from one of my children last Father's Day. He said, "Dad, just want to say you're the greatest dad in the world, and I thank you that you're one of my best mates as well. I love you lots." But I still feel a failure. And I want to just suggest there's a reality and there's a perceived reality. The reality is I love my children and my children love me. The perceived reality is I'm not good enough. I'm a failure. I haven't directed them enough. There are all sorts of questions come into our minds. And we're meeting somebody in our passage today, who faces that challenge of a reality and a perceived reality. And that's Elijah. Let me just tell you where we are. Elijah is this incredible prophet who, if you just go back a couple of chapters in 1 Kings 17, he's somebody in a time of drought. The Lord sends him off to hide near a brook, and he is fed and has bread and meat and water daily. While many other people are suffering, the Lord looks after him. He knows, Elijah knows, the God of provision. And then in 1 Kings 18, we get this incredible showdown on Mount Carmel, where what Elijah sees is this God of power who comes and makes things happen. So Elijah comes up against all the prophets of Baal, and there's this huge showdown, and they call out on Baal hour after hour after hour to make something happen. Nothing happens. It's an empty God. And then Elijah, at the time of prayer, it says, calls on the Lord and comes down, and the Lord sends fire down and consumes not just the offering that Elijah has put on the altar, but the trench around it filled with water, and the altar itself. It's this incredible moment where the power of God is demonstrated and everything changes. So he's on a high with his ministry. Everything seems to be going well. This is when he should be able to say, have faith in God. He's got the future in my hands. Then one person challenges him. I think that's how fragile we can all be. I don't know if you've ever felt that, but if one person says something to you that is negative or difficult or challenging or creates a vulnerability in you, it can knock everything else off course. And Elijah has this one person, Jezebel. She speaks to him and she says, or sends a message, and she says, may the gods kill me if I haven't killed you by this time tomorrow. Here's the reality for Elijah. He's got a God of provision. He's got a God of power. He's got a God, our God, who's demonstrated his care for him. And yet one individual person comes and threatens that in him. And he withdraws and goes into a place of mental anguish. He goes into a place of emotional turmoil. And what does he do? Well, many of us know you either freeze or flee, and he flees. He runs. He runs as far as he can. He gets away as far as he can. And it says he fled for his life in verse 3. He went to Beersheba, the town of Judah, and he left his servant there. Then he went on alone into the wilderness, traveling all day. And he sat down under a solitary broom tree and prayed that he might die. I've had enough, Lord, he said. Take my life, for I am no better than my ancestors who have already died. An incredible moment. This powerful prophet, this one who's seen God at work so much, is now in a place of vulnerability, now in a place of challenge, now in a place of desperation in many ways. What does God say to him? I think this is what God says to him. I think God says, in a different way, have faith, I've got you. Have faith, I've got you. I believe that's what God wants to say to us today. Have faith, I've got you. There is no storm that will come your way that you will not be able to cope with if your hand is held firmly in the hand of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. There is no challenge that will come your way that will consume you if your hand is held firmly in the hand of Jesus Christ. I think God says to him, have faith, I've got you. It says in verse 5, he lay down and slept under the broom tree. But as he was sleeping, an angel touched him and told him, get up and eat. So he looked around, and there beside his head was some bread baked on hot stones and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. An extraordinary verse. Here in the wilderness with nothing around, there's fresh baked bread and a jar of water. Here's Elijah again meeting the God of provision. Sometimes we just have to look and see. I don't know what you've done in your community during this last 6 months. We run a food bank, we help run a soup kitchen, and we do it with a community of churches together. It's a great way to work. Churches together is a fantastic way to do things, and we all contribute to this. Both of those organisations run out of one of the churches that I'm vicar of. But this is what we've done in the last few months, is we've had to open emergency food banks because there are so many people that have needed resources, that have needed food, and they've been able to come and to get what they need in what's been a really difficult time for them. And they might not perceive that it's God providing for them, but I believe it is. I believe that it is God. It's the hand of God that is holding them, putting an invitation before them. Come, meet with me, because if you put your hand in the hand of Jesus, you'll find that your future is bright. And what I love is what the Lord says to Elijah. He doesn't say to him, get up and pray. He doesn't say to him, read your Bible. He doesn't say to him, you need to go share your faith. He doesn't say to him, you need to go serve somebody else. He says, look, if you're tired and broken and feeling vulnerable, it was for freedom I set you free, not to make you feel guilty. So why don't you rest? Why don't you eat? Why don't you drink? Why don't you breathe a little? Why don't you just allow yourself to find again a centered life focused on me? You know, I believe that the Lord wants us to feed our souls. The last thing he wants from Christians is Christians who are worn out and worn down. Because when we share our faith, this is what we're doing. We're inviting people into a life in all its fullness, a life where people will find the precious jewel that we found, that place under pressure, where something within us has become like a diamond and we reflect something of the light of God. Because under pressure, we found that our hand in the hand of Jesus is a hand that is secure and firm. And if we've got our hand in that hand, we know that we're safe. I love walking with my little granddaughter. She's currently living in Australia, so difficult to do at the moment. She's just nearly three. But when we walk together, she holds my hand tight. And she knows she's safe with Papa. She's safe as we go around. And I see it in other little children. And the same is true for us. When we have our hand in the hand of our Heavenly Father, we know that we're safe. Because he's bigger than us. He knows more than us. He holds the whole world in his hands, it says. And our hand in his hand means that we are secure. It goes on in verse 7, it says, then the angel of the Lord came again and touched him and said, get up and eat some more, or the journey ahead will be too much for you. So he got up and ate and drank, and the food gave him enough strength to travel 40 days and 40 nights to Mount Sinai, the mountain of God. And there he came to a cave where he spent the night. Isn't that lovely? God gives him enough. The God of provision that gives us enough to sustain us through the difficult times. That's what God is like. If our hand is in the hand of Jesus, he will give us enough to sustain us, to hold us, to help us, to guide us. And I love the question the Lord then asks of Elijah here, the other verse 9b. He says, but the Lord said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? I think Elijah could have said, well, you told me to come. But he doesn't. What God's asking him to do is to say, would you reflect on your situation? Now you've been restored. Now you've been refreshed. Now you've found yourself rest. Why don't you just self-reflect on the situation? He's asking for his own benefit. And this is what Elijah says in verse 10. He says, look, I have zealously served the Lord Almighty, but the people of Israel have broken their covenant with you, torn down your altars, killed every one of your prophets. I'm the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me. He's not the only one. Not the only one left. There are others who've also come back to God. There are also others who've been true to God. But for him, there's a reality and a perceived reality. The reality is that actually God's on his throne. He's the one in whose hand we can hold and feel safe. He has got the future in his hands. The perceived reality is it all depends on me, and it's too much for me, and I fear a failure. I'm going to struggle under that pressure. How much better to say I rest in the arms of my Heavenly Father who holds the future in his hands. And he whispers to him, and this is what he whispers to him. He says to him, God says to Elijah, he says, this is what I want you to do. I want you to go back. I want you to go back and I want you to anoint some others. Look out for those that I'm going to put in your path who are going to be leaders alongside you, or leaders of groups of people. So it's not all about you. There are others who can do that. But more than that, he says, I want you to anoint Elisha as your successor, because there's no success without a successor. So he says, anoint Elisha and I'll give you somebody who will walk with you and talk with you and support you and encourage you. You see, God is the God of provision. He provides for all our needs. He cares for our deepest heartfelt feelings. And I would love to invite us today, in a sense, just to say, let's choose to have faith in God, because God has got your future. God believes in you. So put your hand into the hand of Jesus, like a child putting their hand into the hand of Papa, knowing that they're safe there, knowing they'll be looked after, knowing that the Father, the Heavenly Father, can see everything and knows everything and will hold everything. And if you're struggling, can I encourage you as a fellow Christian alongside me, take time out to be with your Lord. Take time out to eat well and drink well and feed well and to rest well. And from that place, to know God's favour poured into your heart and mind. And as you do that, you will know something rich and flavoursome of the kingdom of God. And during this time, when pressures will come and go, when we are facing economic insecurity, we are facing a job market that is plummeting, we are facing all sort of health issues, in that time, the pressure on us can bring something beautiful out of us. We've got our hand in the hand of our Heavenly Father. Have faith, because God has got you in His heart, His eye, and His hand. Let me pray. Father, would you come by your Holy Spirit? Would you speak to us? Would you fill us, Lord, with your goodness and your grace? Come, Holy Spirit. As I was praying about this, I felt the Lord saying there was somebody going to be listening who just needs to hear. You just need to hear you're precious, you're unique, you're special. Don't forget that Jesus would say to you, I love you. He'd say, you're precious to me. You're special to me. Hold firm to your faith in him and the future will be bright. And I pray as we move on now to the next part of this service, that the Spirit would continue to minister to you and fill you afresh, that you might be somebody who can say to others, have faith. God's got you. Put your hand into the hand of Jesus and you will then know a bright future. Amen.